And we're looking at Matthew chapter 6 this morning. Buying shoes shouldn't be a stressful experience, but for some reason it is for me. I'm a little bit particular, and I also know that anybody like me, I try to like keep my shoes as long as I can because I don't want to buy another pair of shoes. I try to stretch them out to at least a year, but sometimes I try to push the envelope to 2 years. I have a podiatrist that told me you're supposed to replace them every quarter, every 3 months. Can you imagine a new pair of shoes every quarter? They said, especially if you only wear one pair of shoes, which us guys, we have fewer shoes that we wear than the ladies who have. Anybody in this room have more than 15 pairs of shoes? Oh, we have some guys that do too, okay. So buying shoes, it can be stressful if you know that I'm committed to this pair of shoes for the next year or more. So you want to take your time buying the shoes, but here's the dilemma I had. I went to buy a new pair of shoes on Monday because I had a pair that was getting a little worn. And the employee that was there, I won't name the store. The employee that was there was a younger guy, and he was leaning against the desk in front of the register and playing on his phone. And I come in, I'm looking around, and then I go to ask him if I can see a shoe, this shoe in a particular size, and he goes like this. Yep. He walks to the back, kind of mopingly. Eventually comes out with that pair of shoes, and I try it on, and I don't like how it feels, so I want to try another pair. And he's back at the thing doing this. Can I try this size? He goes, yep. Goes back to the back. Now, mind you, my poor wife is waiting for me. we had gone out grocery shopping. The kids were at school, so we went grocery shopping, and we went to the mall. Oh, I'm going to give it away partway. The shoe store is in a mall somewhere. So I went to the shoe store, and she was going to wait. She finally decided, oh, I'm going to go to the other grocery store. We go to, I don't know about you guys, but we go to three different stores to shop for food. So she goes to the other store, and I'm standing there, and I'm running out of options because I've at this point tried about seven different shoes. And it wasn't that I didn't like them, so they didn't have them in my size. And so I was like, I just want a shoe. And so I'm trying to begin to negotiate inside myself. Now, I don't know. Sometimes I think this happens subconsciously. Sometimes it happens consciously. We're aware that we're negotiating goals. Have you ever done that before? You have competing goals, and you just have a limited amount of time, and you know that this guy, you don't want to ask him to get you another pair of shoes to try, and you know your wife's waiting for you, and you just want to get out of the store at some point, and you don't want to stay there forever, but the desire to leave with a pair of shoes was very high on my list. I came here, I don't want to do this again, so I want to leave with a pair of shoes, but I didn't want to compromise. I wanted a certain kind of shoe, and just all these competing passions were there. Well, finally, I settled on a pair of shoes, but it wasn't exactly what I would have preferred, but it worked. And it made Heather not have to wait for me any longer. It made me not have to deal with that guy anymore. And it got me out of the store with a pair of shoes. Now, we have things like that in life where we have things that we want, but we can't get all of them. We can't get all of them at the same time. And so then we're forced to figure out which one is more important. Which one do I want more? Because we're limited on time, aren't we? We only have so much time, right? And sometimes we're less busy than other times, but we only have so much time in life to do things. And so we choose not to do some things that we would like to do because we feel like we want to do these things more, or these things are more important. We also find ourselves wrestling with limits on resources. You know, sometimes we only have so much money, right? So you might like a certain shoe, but you know that you shouldn't spend that money on that shoe. Maybe you have that money, but you don't want to spend it on that. Do you make those kind of decisions where I have enough to buy that, but if I buy that, I won't be able to buy this? And so wouldn't it be great to have all the money in the world? You don't have to make those kind of decisions, but we're forced in that place, right? We also have relationship limitations, and we have people limitations and other resource limitations that we have to pick and choose. And it's these competing desires and passions, and it's these circumstances that are often at the heart of why we struggle with a lot of different things. Like, why am I so anxious all the time? I bet that most of the time when we're anxious is because there's certain things that we desire in our lives and they're not there. Like money problems. If you have money problems, the reason why you're anxious is because you don't have enough money to spend on the things that you want to spend on. The despair and the sadness that we feel in life, or the depression that some of us go through, the heart of that is because there's things that we want, and they might not be material, okay? They might be love. They might be relationships. They might mean peace of mind, but there's things that we want, and the reason why we're sad is we don't have the things that we desire. It's at the heart of our anger issues. Some of us have anger issues, and we get mad at the people in our lives. And why are we mad? Because there are things that we want to have in life, and we don't have them. So right at the heart of so many things are our passions and desires. Even at the heart of why we struggle with temptation and giving into sin, or why when we look at our lives, do you ever look back on your life? And sometimes we do that and we have some fond memories. Do you ever look back on the course of your life and you have a list of regrets? And you think about how, you know, I wish I was a certain kind of person. And they don't even have to be that you wish you accomplished more or had more money or whatever. They can be, I wish I was there for my family more often. I wish I was more faithful to follow the Lord. I wish I was more righteous and did more good things in my life. And we look back on that and we're regretting who we are right now. And sometimes we face that with honesty on, I shouldn't have lived that way. But you know what happens? You know why we get to this place? It's because in the right now, in the moment, it is so much easier to justify not doing that or doing this or making that purchase when this is the only thing we're looking at. But when we begin to look at a longer period of time, that's when it becomes harder to justify that I'm not spending enough time with my kids. Because there's times where you have things that you have to do in a day, right? And you can't spend time with your family or your kids. There's times where your day's falling apart and you just couldn't get to doing something for ministry or studying your Bible, or at least not as much as you wanted to. And that happens on occasion. But if you look at the whole of your life and you realize, boy, this is lacking, it's because you're living in just the present moment, justifying your actions rather than working them out on the long haul. Or some of you look back on your life and you regret that it's that way, but your response is, what was I supposed to do? I only had so much time. I only had so much money. And have you ever heard the people who are always giving excuses? You know, well, it's because of this and because of that, and I couldn't have become that because of all these different things. And I want you to know something. The stuff that's back there, you're right. You can't do anything about that. But as far as I can tell, you're still alive. And you know what you can do something about? Today and going forward. And so if you truly regret, because I believe that if you're in this room or you're with us online, you're here because some part of you wants to follow Jesus. Hopefully a lot of you does, but some part of you wants to follow Jesus. Some part of you wants to be a good person. Some part of you wants to do those things, but you just don't do them. Why? Jesus is going to guide us with that as we work on our passions. Look with me at Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 19. Matthew 6, beginning at verse 19. And Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, again, this is all part of the same sermon, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, so there's a context to it. And if you're wondering if this is just a sidebar for Jesus to address our passions, like the prayer passage that we looked at last week, it's not. And you want to know how I know it's not? Because he began the sermon with the Beatitudes. And what does he say about the Beatitudes? If you are this, then you will have, blessed are the people who, whatever, and he gives the whatever rewards. Because he's saying, the start of his message, he's saying, I get it that you desire things, that you want life to be a certain way. And guess what? If you want life to be a certain way, be this kind of person and you will begin to experience, not only experience those, but begin to spread that experience to other people, because we are the what? The salt and the light, that we're supposed to be bringing those things into existence through the work of the Holy Spirit. So the whole gist of the message is, I get it. You want things. In fact, when we move to chapter 6, what does he say? Do not be like the hypocrites who, when they pray, they long to be what? Seen by others. And so he's still talking about the things that you want. And some of those things you can have. Other things, you need to work those things out. And so he's talking about us being people who desire. Anybody care to admit that you desire things? Anybody? Only a few of you? Okay. I bet by a certain time here, you're going to desire some food, right? We desire things. Do we ever desire, anybody ever desire things that maybe you shouldn't desire? Okay, I'll wave my hand up here first, okay? Ever desire to pop that guy? Okay, right? Okay, we desire things. And Jesus knows that, and he understands that. And I think sometimes we think the solution is to not desire anything. The solution is to not crave. In fact, there's a false religion out there called Buddhism. Buddhism, the heart of that, the solution to life is to not desire anything, because then you won't get mad about anything, because then you won't get sad if you didn't want anything to begin with. And so they realize something that is true. At the heart of a lot of our negative emotions is our desires, but those desires were God-given. Otherwise, why would he try to meet those desires if the desires themselves were evil? Now, sometimes we desire evil things, but desire itself is not evil. It's like a vessel. It's like a tool. It's like an instrument that you use, and you can use it for bad, or you can use it for good. And we would like to use our desires for good. But why do we keep choosing to do the wrong things? Why do we keep choosing not to do the right things and have a list of regrets behind us? And it's because we don't know how to handle these passions. So how do we handle the passions? Well, Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, have you ever stopped to think about what does that mean? Where my treasure is, there my heart will be also. Does he mean figuratively or literally? I want you to think about something for a minute. If you desire to be with somebody, if you really, really want to be with that person, maybe it's a love interest, maybe it's your child, if you desire to be with them, where are you going to be? Where's your body going to be? With that person, right? You're going to find a way to be with that person. Your heart will be with that person some way or another. And if it's not, what do we have a saying for this when people are missing their love interest? What do we say? They're what? What kind of sick? They're heart sick, right? Okay? Because their heart isn't where they want to be. You go where you want to be. So if you want to eat, guess what you're usually going to do? You're going to eat something. You're going to find something to eat. You're going to find a way. Now, I understand that sometimes we make sacrifices for greater good, and sometimes we don't do what we want, and that's great. But most of the time, we do what we want. If you're not praying, studying your Bible, most likely it's because you don't want to. You do, in a way, because you feel like you're supposed to, but you don't want to do that, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you're not spending time with your family, whether it's immediate or extended, The reason why we're not spending time with our family is because we don't really want to. And some of us, I heard that laugh. Some of us know that, and we joke about in-laws and those kind of things. Some of us know that we don't want to be with our family. Well, how am I supposed to make myself want to do that? Because I'm telling you, which is going to be more powerful, if you want to do the thing or if you're trying to just make yourself do the thing? Because I don't know about you, but I've done times in my life where I tried to make myself do things that I don't want to do. How long does that last? It doesn't last very long. And so what's the solution? I need to desire the things. Well, then how do I make myself desire the thing that I don't even want? Well, Jesus says, first of all, where your treasure is, your heart will be. So that means that I need to be honest with the stuff that I'm looking at behind me. If I am not spending time with the Lord, it means I don't want to. And you might say, well, I don't have time. And you make time for the things you want to do. If you want to rest, you make sure you have time to rest. If you want to spend time with your friends, if you want to make sure you watch your favorite show, if you want to make sure you do internet research, if you want to make sure you take your walk, if you want to make sure you take care of your pets, if you want to whatever it is you're doing with your time, if you want to make sure you work your job and you earn extra money or whatever, you are making sure you have time to do the things that you want to do. Because I'm telling you, if an emergency came and there was something that I won't be able to have this if I don't move things out of the way, you will move heaven and earth for certain things in life. Because if it's important enough to you, if you want it, you will make time for it. So I have to be honest. And we try not to be. We justify ourselves very well, don't we? I feel like we're all professionals at that, justifying ourselves. But I need to be honest and look back and say, if I'm not spending time with my children, it's because I don't want to. If I'm not doing the good things I feel like I should be doing, if I'm not involved in the body of Christ like I should, if I'm not studying my Bible like I should, if I'm not spending the time on my marriage relationship like I should, then the starting point is to acknowledge it's because you don't want to. And I don't know why it's so hard for us to admit things like that. Anybody stutter every time you say the words, I'm sorry? They don't come as fluidly out like that. They usually come out like, I'm, you get it. Okay. We don't like to say it because we don't like to acknowledge the realities of the negative things about ourselves. But I'm telling you, as much as you're trying to hide it from God, he already knows that you don't want to open up that Bible. He already knows that you didn't want to show up to church on that day. And you might say, well, it's because of the ache and pain. It's because of the rough night I had. It's because of the whatever it is that you have back there. And sometimes that happens. But it's amazing how you will go through a lot of aches and pains and deal with a lot of problems and hurdles and lack of sleep if it's something you really want to get yourself to. If you had free tickets to the Super Bowl, or if you knew that you just needed to show up somewhere and you were going to get $50,000, you wouldn't be saying, well, my knee hurts some, so I'm not going to go get that $50,000. I have a little bit of a headache. I lost an hour of sleep last night. No, if you want it, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So the starting point is to admit what it is I don't actually want and what it is I actually do want. Just like the sin things. The things that you're doing that you don't want to be doing, you're doing them because you want to. You wanted to pop that guy. You wanted to tell that lady off. You wanted to ignore that phone call. That's why you did it, because you wanted to. And I need to start with the admission. Then I need to deal with, because Jesus gives us two categories. He doesn't tell us what they are, but he gives us two categories. There are the things that moth and rust can destroy and the things that moth and rust cannot destroy. Okay, we got two categories there. In the first category are the things that don't last. They just don't have lasting value, or they don't last as long as the other things. And I want you to know something. Did you know what doesn't last? Your vehicle. You know what's so irritating is when you get a newer vehicle, and boy, I envy, and I don't know if Damien is here. I see him. Yeah, Damien is here. I probably shouldn't say this because now everybody will ask him to do it for them, but Damien knows how to detail cars. It's amazing what they can do with a car that's been messed up and wreaked havoc on with children, and they can make it look brand new. Isn't that such a great feeling? Have you ever gotten into a car? It doesn't have to be new, but it feels like new. Have you ever gotten into a car and it's like, this feels amazing? And then 3 weeks later, it doesn't feel like that anymore, depending on how cleanly you are and how many children you have. They don't last. Or you get a ding in it. I have a neighbor that I just recently heard him tell off a neighbor because they were out shoveling snow too close to his car. He was all irritated because he didn't want them to scratch his car. And so we're willing to tell off the neighbor that we really don't even know because this car is worth so much money that in 3 years from now we're going to call a tow truck to haul it off and take it away. That you're not going to take it with you to heaven, right? But for some reason, that car or the clothing that you're wearing or the house that you're taking care of or the books that you have or the phones and the devices that you have, they become so important to us. And the reason why they become so important to us is because we don't look at them the right way. Because we don't realize this thing won't last. This thing won't make my children love me. This thing won't make my spouse or my friends love me. This thing, when I get to heaven, I won't be able to say to Jesus, you know, I had a nice car. I dressed well. I took care of my hair well. Jesus is going to look at it and say, I don't care about that. But how much time are we spending on the things that really, if we look at them, they don't matter? But what about the things that do matter? Boy, do our kids grow up so fast, don't they? Before you blink, they went off to college and they moved out and they went on their own and they turned into a nut job because that's what they do. You're wondering where in the world they came from. I wasn't like that when I was a kid. And you get married and before you know it, you get a job and you're working and you have interest and you're doing things and you have kids and you're busy. And before you know it, you realize, when was the last time we went out on a date? When was the last time I just sat down and listened? And the reason why it happens is because we're so consumed with the things that the moths and the rust destroy. And we're not able to see clearly. And you know what was perplexing to me when I was reading over this passage? I understand, okay, that there's the part here that says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then verse 24, that you cannot serve two masters. But we must be devoted to the Lord above money. And I get how those two things relate, don't you? Okay, we're supposed to be more passionate about one thing than the other. We're supposed to be more devoted to one thing than the other. But what I was puzzled by is verses 22 and 23, what in the world is he talking about with this eye thing? What does he mean that the eye is the lamp of the body, and so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness? What is he talking about in the midst of desire these things more, being more committed to these things? What is he talking about with the eye? And then as I began to reflect on it, I began to realize what he was talking about with the eye. Have you ever heard of the three categories of sins, lust of the eyes? We usually use our eyes to calculate desire, right? We see the thing and we want the thing. And as we see it and we bring that into our senses, we evaluate whether or not we want it. Anybody sight eaters like I am? If it doesn't look good, it's hard for me to eat it. Anybody like me like that? If it looks good, I want to eat it. If it doesn't look good, I don't care what it smells like. I don't care if somebody says it's amazing, it's fantastic, you got to try it. Have you ever had somebody do that to you before? This is amazing, it's fantastic, you got to try it. And you think, I don't have to try it. They know you got to try it. It's awesome, it's wonderful. You need to have some of this. I don't need to have any of that. It doesn't look good to me because I tend to eat with my eyes. We usually use our eyes when it comes to our appetites. And when we look at things, we're deciding how much do I want that thing? How valuable is that thing? And if my vision is off, because when I look at the thing, I'm calculating for it more value than it actually has, then that disrupts my ability to crave the things that I should and be committed to the things that I should. If my vision is saying this thing is less valuable than it is, then my vision is off and I begin to neglect the things that are valuable. And so when you are evaluating things in your life, and you can tell it by looking at what you're spending your time on, ask yourself, how much value are you placing on those things? How good are your eyes? Because if you think that car is worth that much for you to go out and scream out your neighbor, then your eyesight is bad. That car has too much value in your heart and your minds, and where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And the reason why he lashed out at that neighbor is because he valued the car more than he did the relationship with the neighbor. Some of you have done that with your children, your spouse. You're overly critical and nitpicky because of the way the house is, or because of the way they handle themselves in public. Wonder if any wives ever get irritated with the way their husbands handle themselves in public. And you care more, you value more how you are seen by other people. And remember, we looked at that Pharisee passage, do not be like the Pharisees who long to be seen by others. We tend to think that that's not us. But I think that a lot of us care about the way other people see us. And sometimes we value how other people see us more than our marriage relationship. Our eyes are bad. The reason why we're not praying is because we don't see the value in praying. And so you know what the answer is? The answer is for us to get our eyes checked out, for us to get our eyes healed and cleansed so that we can begin to see. And what you need to do is you need to start talking to yourself and to talking to the Lord, and you need to start saying out loud, this car doesn't mean that much. This phone that you just bought a month ago that you gave to your grandchild to play with and now it doesn't work anymore, that phone matters less than that grandchild. And spending time in prayer, if we can start to see why it's so significant, why it has so much value for me to study the Word, why it has so much value for me to be inside the church building, being with other believers, why it means so much for me to do something in serving the body of Christ, until you can see that, you won't want it. And if you won't want it, you won't do it. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So the solution, first off, is to begin to address the things that you desire, admit what it is you do and don't desire, and begin to change the valuing system. But even if we do that, there are times that you tried really hard to want the right thing, you still don't want to do it. Have you ever had an annoying person in your life? It's just every time you're with them, I've never experienced this because I like everybody the same. But there's that person that just the sound of their voice makes you crazy. And the sound of them walking into the room, you know that there's going to be some kind of criticism or some kind of big question that's going to lead to a conflict. Have you ever known some people that it just seems like if they open their mouth, it's because they want to fight? You're thinking, please don't open your mouth again. Oh, no. And you try with everything within you to want to do the right thing, but you don't. That's when you have the backup. That's the reason why Jesus said this following statement after the I thing, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now, I want to remind us that whole Bible context, he's not saying you can't have or use money. He's not saying you can't pursue the things that you want. He's not saying you can't rest. He's not saying you can't enjoy certain things in life. He's not saying you can't have pleasure. But what he's saying is he knows, like we know, we only have so much time. And we only have so many resources. And we only have so many relationships. And we only have so much energy. Do you ever feel like, I just don't have any more energy for this? Okay, we only have so much energy. And so when that happens, we get just like when I'm at the shoe store trying to decide, which would I rather? Heather keep getting stuck waiting for me or me getting the shoes? Me having to keep dealing with the guy, do you have a size 11 in this shoe? I'll see. I don't want to deal with that anymore. I just want to get out of the store. There's other things I want to do besides spending an hour here at the shoe store. And you find your desires competing with one another. Because listen, I think for some of us, it's not that we don't want to pray. It's that we want other things to fill up our time more than pray. And that's why we regret it. Because we do want that. I think some of us, we want to be involved in the body of Christ. I think some of us, we want to spend time with our family. It's just we want some other things more. Peace of mind and peace and quiet and a stress-free environment. Which I don't know where you found that. If you did, please let us know. We'll take a trip there. Once we show up, it won't be a stress-free environment anymore. But there are times that you have to make a choice. I can either be comfortable or share my faith with this lost person. I can either get the rest I need or show up for church. I can either do the things that I feel like I know how to do, or I can try to step out on a limb and try things that I don't know if I know how to do. I can decide to choose to retreat and take a sabbatical and get away, or I can try to make sure I'm there for my family no matter how stressful it might be. And that's the backup, is to say that I'm more committed to them, I'm more committed to this, I'm more committed to Christ than I am to these other things. Again, it's not that you have to lose the other things, but if they begin to compete with the others, that's, Jesus says you cannot have two masters. That's when we make that choice in that moment. And I get it. Sometimes you can't spend time with your kids because you have to go to work. I get it. I get sometimes you just can't handle the stress anymore and you need to get away. I understand that. But I'm talking about when you look over the longer period of time, your choices are showing you who your Lord is. Who is the Lord of your life? Is it Jesus Christ or is it your rest and comfort? Is it Jesus Christ or is it your family? Because sometimes family gets in the way of Jesus. Didn't Jesus say, I came to make households hate one another? Not that that was his goal, but he knew that would happen. You choose your work over your family, the work is the Lord of your life. Who is the Lord of your life this morning? Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? We sing songs of deliverance and victory. We plead with the Lord and even others for deliverance and victory over our sadness and despair, over our lacking of provisions, over our health issues, over our relationship issues, over all the different things that are in our lives. We plead for an escape and deliverance from. You want to know how to get victory from that? You have to stop giving excuses. They might be reasonable. They might be realistic. But you will not ever find victory by filling your mouth with excuses. I have to decide at some point in my life to be honest with what's behind me in the rearview mirror. I have to be honest with that. And I have to admit, I'm not who I want to be. And nobody can be blamed but myself. But you don't understand. You don't know the people that I live with. You don't know the people I work with or for. You don't know the people that live around me. You don't know what's going on in my body. And you're right, I don't know. But I'm telling you, if you ever want to get out of that hole that you're in, you have to stop making excuses. Stop blaming other people and look at your life and say, it's not what I want it to be. And I have some choices to make. Whether it's I need the Lord to help me be healed of my vision problem because I'm making things more important than they are, and I'm making other things less important than they are. And I need the Lord to circumcise my heart and transform me, give me a new heart, and I'm going to decide to be committed to that I'm going to look at this differently from now on. And I'm going to start making choices, and I'm going to start taking action to make things different so that I can begin to see, because if the eye is good, the whole body is full of light. If you would like, because I'm telling you, as much as you loved the car, as much as you loved your job, as much as you loved the resources it gave, as much as you loved your rest and your peace and quiet and all of that stuff, I'm telling you, there is still a load of regret of, but I wish it didn't cost all that. And it's at this moment, at this time, that you would much rather have the joy and the peace and the contentment of knowing when you look back and you realize, I did it. I did what I was supposed to. I became the person I was supposed to be. There is nothing more contenting, nothing more peaceful and pleasing than to know I did with my life what I was supposed to. Wouldn't you love to know that kind of peace? Wouldn't you love to know that? We have a choice to make. And I'm telling you, there's victory for you if you'll make those choices. But we have to stop making the excuses. Are you willing to step into this and say, Lord, I'm changing. I want to change. I want to be different. And besides, you know what's kind of silly? Is when we look back on our lives, it's kind of ironic that not only did we not accomplish the things that were more important, we didn't even get the things that we sacrificed them for. Why? Because those are the things where the moth and rust destroy. The things that last are the loving relationships that we have. The things that last are the things we do for the Lord. So if you need to deal with those things this morning, then there's a wide open place right here for you to come and ask Him to help you, to change you, to do something in your life, to forgive you, to give you the strength to move forward, to have the eyes that we need to have. Come. That's just someone's phone, I think. But this is the opportunity for the Lord to do something in your life. Don't get distracted. This is the enemy. I want you to know that this is the enemy. I don't like to blame the enemy on a lot of things, but this is a moment where the Lord wants to transform your life. Don't let some sound distract you from that. Let's be different. Let's be different from this time forward. Let's seek Him. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. And as always, hearing my voice doesn't mean you need to be done at the altar area. So as the Lord moves in you, just let Him do that. Don't feel like you need to move on. And so as to not disturb this, what I'd like to do is, Joe, if you could just use whatever songs you have and continue to lead us as you feel led. Some of you need to be prayed for, and you didn't come forward in the middle of the service, and you didn't come forward at the altar time, and that's fine. But I don't want you to miss the opportunity to have someone pray for and with you. So what I'd like to do, if the altar team, who usually comes forward and prays with people, if you guys can go to the back area for me. And if you don't know who they are, they'll be the ones facing you when you start to walk out. And if you happen to stumble upon someone who's facing you that's not on the altar team, that's fine. They could probably pray for you, with you too. But don't miss a moment with the Lord. There's so many other things that are so far less important. Don't miss a moment with the Lord. And so when I dismiss in a moment, the Lord's working in you. You stay right here at the altar. The worship team wants to serve you and lead us. And that's wonderful, and keep that going. If you feel you want to stay in your seats and sit or stand and you just want to keep worshiping the Lord, that's wonderful too. We don't actually have a precise end time. I don't know if you know that. We might routinely end by a certain time, but we don't have to be out the door by noon. Okay? We can. That's fine. But I'm usually here later than that, so you can linger. If you get too long, I'll make Joe stay here for you. But when we dismiss, I want you to find, if you need someone to pray for you, I want you to find them and have them pray for you. They'd love to do that. I also want to let you know that next week, as we continue in Matthew 6, do you ever wish you knew what to do with the anxiety you keep feeling, the stress you're feeling? Maybe it's not huge, but you feel stressed and you don't know what to do with that. The Lord wants to tell us what to do with our anxiety and how to be able to eliminate that from our lives. So I hope that you come back and see what the Lord has for us for that. But I love you. Thank you so much for being here this morning. And again, do as the Lord leads you. Okay? So if you have someone that you need to see for prayer, see them. If you need to stay at the altar, even if you didn't come yet, but you want to come now that nobody else is looking at you, you can do that. But let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for what you're doing in our hearts and lives. And we ask that you would continue to do more of it. We truly, truly need a revival and an awakening inside of us. Because like we said last week, we need your help. We are helpless. and we are not deserving. And we need you to help us to become what you're calling us to be. To be victorious, to be overcomers, to be salt and light, to be righteous, holy. We need your help to become that. So continue to swoop in and give us the strength and the comfort and the wisdom and the support that we need. And help us to be willing to provide that for other people as well. And may you build your church. We're delighted in the way you build your church. Continue to do that. Reach this neighborhood for you. And help us be all that you've called us to be. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you. God bless you. See you next week again. Just move as the Lord shows you.